Travis Garrison on the Field of 68 Networks. I got my guy, Coach Greg Manning Jr. with us today. Hey, what's going on, Greg? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Travis. How are you, man? Appreciate you having me.
I'm good, man. I appreciate you taking time out your morning. I'm pretty sure you're busy this morning, but I definitely appreciate you taking time out your day for us.
Of course.
Yeah, so let's jump right into it. Now, you are the son of the great Terp, Greg Manning Sr., and I heard you were the ball boy back then, man. What was that experience like for you, obviously being the son of a great player like Greg Manning, and obviously like being a ball boy back then? What was that experience like for you?
Yeah, like you said, he's obviously my old man. And, you know, back then when you're a kid, Travis, you know, I didn't really understand how good of a player he was at the time, right? So he's just your dad when you're a little kid. And like you said, I had an opportunity to be a ball boy for probably 10 or 11, nah, probably 7 or 8 years here. My dad was working upstairs in development, and he was also doing the radio with Johnny Holiday. So, you know, I grew up around the program. I was lucky enough to be a ball boy and see some really good teams. You know, I remember being in Cole Fieldhouse and seeing the Dukes and Carolinas come in and all those great games that Coach Williams had some monster teams, man. So it was great. It was, you know, a place that I call home. I still call this place home. But, you know, as you get older, you realize you start to understand how good of a player he was and guys like yourself and how many good players have come to this program. So it's pretty cool to be able to coach here at Maryland now. You know, it's a place where my father played. A place that means so much to not only myself, but to my family as well. But yeah, it's kind of cool to come full circle to be a ball boy sitting on the back of the basket and rebounding for guys like Terrell Stokes, and who actually ended up coaching me at Loyola, and then Vince Carter and those guys on the opposing team. And then to be able to sit on the bench and coach for the last 4 years here, it's really neat.
Well, do you happen to remember, because I know me, when I was a young kid, I wasn't, believe it or not, man, I wasn't really heavily involved with basketball. Like, so my older brother is 9 years older than I am. So I remember going to his high school games, and I didn't pay attention, didn't care less about the game. I was in the hallway playing around with toys and everything. So I don't have recollections of those games. Do you have any recollections of games that you watched, or any games that stand out to you that you was like, man, I would never forget that moment or that experience?
Yeah, to me, it's kind of the same as you. It's hard to remember specific games when you're that age. But I do remember specific players, right? You remember guys that you really like, you know, growing up, I loved watching Sarunas Jasikevičius. You know, I mean, a guy could really stick it. Somebody, you know, somebody that I tried to model my game after, because I wasn't the quickest guy. I wasn't the most athletic guy. I just could really shoot it. So, you know, I always enjoyed talking to Sarunas when I was younger. And then guys like Ekstra Hip and all these great players that played here, man, that a lot of people who aren't Maryland fans don't know just how good they were. But I remember those type of things, the Rasheed Wallaces, the Jerry Stackhouses, Stephon Mulberry, all those guys back in that ACC era that, you know, when those teams came in here to play, you know, I don't have to tell you, you're a local guy from DeMatha, you know how good these guys were. So, man, it was so cool to see those guys in person. And then as they went on to play in the NBA, you're like, man, I was up front and personal and close with these guys and got to see just how good they were, not only warming up for the game, but sitting on that basket watching them. And I think that's what drove me to want to be in coaching and play as well at the next level, is just being around it all the time. You know, one game that I do remember, I wasn't part of it, but it was that game that Maryland lost the lead to Duke. You know, they were up by 10. You know, you remember the losses, and you start to when you're a coach, you really remember the losses more than you do the wins. So those are the daggers, man. Those are the ones that hurt. But Coach Williams did a good job of regroup, and I think the next year they went and won the national title and went to the Final Four. So you really remember the losses more, but I remember the players and just the guys that I was like Matt Kavark, and it's kind of cool, like Matt Kavark and Terrell Stokes were both playing here when I was a ball boy, and then when I go to Loyola and I'm playing, and they're both my assistant coaches. So it's really neat to kind of come full circle and be around those guys when they were players at such a young age, and then be able to coach and learn from them as well.
Absolutely, man. And it's funny, man. I was at that Maryland and Duke game as well, man. Me and Chris McCray, we were at the game. And it was crazy. I mean, Cole Fieldhouse, as you know, it's just, man, the atmosphere is crazy. You know, it's super hot in there. You know, so if it's wintertime, you're dressing warm. So I'm wearing sweatsuits in there and everything. Man, it's burning up. I'm super hot. But at that particular game, they were up. And I was like, all right, man, let me get out of here before it gets crazy and everybody's trying to leave out the door. So by the time I got to the parking lot, drove down Route 1 a little bit, man, I heard that they blew the lead and they right. came back. I was like, I said, are you serious, man? that was definitely a crazy moment for me. But I know you also mentioned, you know, playing at Loyola, and playing under Coach Patsos.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he coached me at Maryland. What was that experience like playing for Patsos? I kind of know what the experience is like.
Yeah, but Patsos story, man. I got so many of them. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jimmy's the best. I don't know how many years did you play for him, Travis? One, right?
No, I had him. We won AC championship. I think he left my junior year, going to my junior year, so 2 years.
So my first year at Loyola was Coach Patsos' first year as well. So I went to high school down in Georgia. My father took the AD job at Georgia State right before high school. So I ended up going down there to go to high school, committed to Mercer. And then I think a month later, Coach Patsos got the job at Loyola and called me up. So I had known him obviously from going to camp here. And like we talked about before, being a ball boy. So it was a no brainer for me. I wanted to get back to the area. And he's somebody that I trusted, my family trusted and had known for a long time. But, you know, not only 4 years playing for him, but then I started coaching under him for 10 years, and five at Loyola and five at Siena. So I did 14 years in a row with him. And I'll tell you what, Travis, I could write a book, man, and retire right now. But I can't do that to my man Clay yet. He is the absolute best. I've never met somebody that has more energy, more passion for not only the game, but the players, the kids, their families. You know, there's not many guys like him anymore, coach, and he's really a renaissance man. So he's got so many other interests, but what he really did a good job was he taught me more than just basketball at a young age. So obviously I learned the game from him when I was playing and then coaching. When he went to Loyola, they were 1-27, Travis, the year before. So wow. He had to turn the program around. So, it's more than just coaching X's and O's every day, right? He had to get people excited about the program, and it's different than Maryland. Obviously, you know, when you're a school like this, you have fans base that really loves it, and it's a big school, and it's easy. You don't really have to promote people who are coming to the games, no matter what. But at Loyola, man, we got there and there was nobody in the stands. So we had to really get the community around the school, around the program, and to believe in him. So I learned how to promote the program from him. I learned how to recruit from him. And then he brought guys like Andre Collins, who we mentioned before we jumped on the show, who's your teammate here at Maryland, and just a really good player. I think Andre was second or third in the country in scoring.
Mm-hmm. He
played at Loyola, man, behind J.J. Redick and Adam Morrison, I believe. But Jimmy, you know, he did a great job of getting that program off the ground and took him to the NCAA tournament. But we had some wild times, man. You know, practices were crazy and locker rooms, if you were down at halftime, were crazy. And afterwards, if you lost. But, you know, I enjoyed him and I stuck around. And it shows the kind of person he is. After playing for him for 4 years, I wanted to still be around the program. And, you know, he's taking care of me. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for him. He's a big part of my success.
No, absolutely, man. You know, Coach Patsos. He recruited me, him and Coach Dickerson, Dave Dickerson, they recruited me, man. And man, I'm talking about one of the best recruiters, I'm talking about always, you know how he talks, you know how he intimate guy he is, very charismatic, you know, but like you said, a great guy, going to do whatever he needs to do to get the job done, you know, a great recruiter, very personable, you know, can talk to anybody. And he's like you said, man, he's very good at communicating, but I know he got a lot of that, you know, that fiery from Coach Williams too, so imagine having those two guys at practice, you know?
Unbelievable.
Man, so it's definitely, but like I said, man, great guy, you know, always showed love to me, always cared about me, really went after me from DeMatha, man, and was very consistent and persuasive about that. So that's definitely my guy, man. So now, you know, you finish your playing days and now you're into coaching. You say you did well. 14 total, before you got to Maryland. So what was that experience like? And then what was that transition like getting back to Maryland?
Yeah, I did. You know, when I graduated, I didn't know what I wanted to do right away. So I was putting letters out and feelers out just to kind of be maybe a grad assistant somewhere, just to give me two more years, get my master's and kind of figure it out. And then a position opened up on the Loyola staff. One of the assistants left to take another job and coach hired me right away. So you know, I was like 21 years old, a full-time assistant at Division I level. I wasn't making any money, right? But it was great to get the experience. So Jimmy hired me right away, and he just, you know, he kind of my job was to go get players. So I didn't, you know, I didn't need to be in practice. He had the basketball part. We had other guys like Matt Kavark, who we mentioned, and Terrell Stokes there, mm-hmm. and G.D. Smith. So I was just kind of recruiting and learning Baltimore and D.C., which was great for me. It's helped me out through my whole career. So, you know, at the time, I didn't realize what a hotbed it was. You know, you're a 21-year-old kid. You don't really understand that, like, how good this area is for basketball. So I just right. I just started forming relationships with people all over the DMV and just tried to get as many local kids as possible to come to Loyola. We were able to do that, Travis. And I think that's why we had a lot of success in my four or five years coaching there. We ended up going to the NCAA tournament. We did it with local kids. I think that's really important, especially at schools like Maryland, Loyola, Towson. There's so many good players. You don't have to tell you went to DeMath and you know the history of that program. But I just tried to meet as many people, and that's really helped me. And then from there, Coach Patsos went to Siena and was the head coach for 5 years, and I went along with him up there. So another good school, a fun 5 years, and we had a lot of success our first year. We were able to win the CBI postseason national tournament. We lost in the MAC championship 2 years later, but just an enjoyable experience. And then when I left there, it prepared me to come here. This is such a different level than that. I actually went to the Loyola game last night. They played BU and lost, but you just go back there and you're like, man, you know, it's so different coming to this level where you're coaching guys like yourself that were McDonald's All-Americans or top, there's, you know, guys that are projected to be top picks in the draft. So, but it prepared me to come here and help Maryland. I wouldn't have been ready for this job if I hadn't spent the 10 years under Coach Patsos.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, but before we move on to talk some Maryland basketball, let me tell you guys a little bit about our partners over at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. If you haven't signed up with Bet Rivers yet, now is the time, because they are offering a $250 match bonus for your first deposit. But what sets them apart is that they require just one playthrough to turn your bonus into cash money. With their new Rush Pay instant approval, withdrawing your winnings is safer, more secure, and more reliable. The basketball season tipping off, get on into the action by going to BetRivers.com today or by downloading the BetRivers app. Must be 21 years or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. So now you're at Maryland. And so y'all dealt with I talked to a couple of guys before, but even going through the COVID situation, then you guys go through not having no fans in the stands. Like, how was it from a coach's perspective going through that transition, and how do you prepare? Because I know, you know, right before they went to the tournament, they canceled the tournament.
Right.
So how do you deal with the players? Because that's mentally got to be tough, especially they were hot at that time.
Right,
and then
right.
Then you come into the following season. Now you don't know if you're going to have a season or not. So it's like, I don't know, because I mean, I never experienced anything like that as a player in college, you know, especially at the college level. So it's just like, how do you deal with your players in that adjustment during those times when you don't know about anything? And then, like I said, y'all was hot going into the tournament. Then, you know, COVID happened. They basically ended the tournament. So what was that adjustment like? Especially, like I said, how did you deal with the players during that time?
Yeah, it was really hard, Travis. So that was my second year of the COVID year. It was really hard because you had guys like Anthony Cowan and Jalen Smith. These guys, Anthony was a senior and he was such a good player here for his whole career. And you wanted to see him play in the NCAA tournament. Like you mentioned, we had such a good team. You know, we won the Big Ten regular season that year on the last game of the season against Michigan at home. And then you got guys like Sticks, Jalen Smith, who you knew wasn't coming back. So he was really a senior as well. And we were probably going to be a 2 or 3 seed in the NCAA tournament. So it was hard for those guys just because you knew they weren't going to get another run at it, and you knew it was going to be the end of Anthony's career. But I was happy for him to go out on top. You know, he came back to hang a banner, and he was able to do that, win the first Big Ten championship here at Maryland. I think, you know, there's only 7 or 8 ACC and Big Ten championships regular seasons that have been won here over, you know, the course of 100 years. That shows how hard it is. So mostly excited for Anthony just because of what he did. But yeah, it was really difficult. We were practicing and getting ready to go to the Big Ten tournament when they canceled that. And then they canceled the NCAA tournament the following day. So really, really tough situation for our guys. And then, you know, just to piggyback on the next year, like you mentioned, there was no fans last year. A really difficult situation. But I think we got the most out of that team last year that we possibly could. And Coach Turgeon did a great job. And we weren't the most talented team. We weren't the biggest team. Nobody really expected much from us. I think we were picked 8th, 10th in the league or something, and really finished the season well. At one point, we won 8 or 9 games in a row in the Big Ten and got to the NCAA tournament and ended up winning a game against a really good UConn team. But they adjusted. The guys had fun with it, Travis. They just, you know, they made their own energy. They had to bring excitement every day. And it was like playing a closed scrimmage every single day. So, you know, it hurts you when you're at home, but it's nice to go on the road and not have to play in front of, you know, 20,000 people at Wisconsin or Purdue or Michigan yelling at you. So very different. Not something I'd ever want to do again. Not quite as fun as playing in front of fans, but the guys adjusted, they adapted well. And then when we got to the NCAA tournament, there was some fans, not a lot. But you know, when you make the tournament, you know how it is. That's icing on the cake, man. That's what everybody wants to do is play the NCAA tournament. So happy for that group last year. And then it's, you know, it's carried over a little bit this year. Some of the places are limited capacity. You're still not seeing as many turnouts, sellouts as you did in the past, just because some people are still afraid of COVID, which is fair and understandable. But hopefully it gets over soon. And but I, you know, I hope it's behind us here pretty soon.
No, absolutely, man. And like I say, I talked to some players and I was just like, man, I played at Maryland and I understand the interaction you have with the fans. And then like it's the student body that you have interaction with the fans. And I just, the adjustment just from going from a house full of fans to nothing at all, where basically you have to be your own cheerleader. Your team, especially on the roads, you're whoever has the loudest bench, right, is basically the home team. And I know that worked out for, you know, you guys and then also a lot of other teams. Now, going into this year, you have the fans back in the building, but obviously we know, you know, Coach Turgeon ended up deciding to leave. You know, I met Coach Turgeon a number of times. You know, I came and practiced with the guys once before. You know, great guy, always, you know, welcome me back, you know, great conversations. So what was you have the new transfers coming in, so you have to adjust to that because now you got to build the chemistry with the new guys, with the old guys. And then you have Coach Turgeon leaving, you know, when the season's starting. What was that adjustment like and how did the players take it? I experienced it overseas, which is different, you know, because, you know, you have players coming in and out, coaches. But from a college standpoint of view, when you're going into the season and that changes, what is that adjustment like? What was that adjustment like? And, like, how did you guys as coaches that were still there handle it?
Yeah, it hasn't been easy, obviously. It's a tough situation. Like you said, coming in this year, we brought 6 transfers in, right? And 3 of them or 4 of them are grad transfers. We only had 1 year to play that came here to coach or play for Coach Turgeon. And then, you know, I think 8 games in, he ended up stepping down. But, you know, it was a decision he had to make. It was a decision he felt was best for himself and his family. And we all respected that. You know, we all really, really like Coach Turgeon. We love Coach Turgeon. And none of us would be here in this program today if it wasn't for him, including myself, any other assistants, graduate assistants, players. We're all here because of him. So there's a level of respect there. That will never go away, obviously. And we're still in contact with him. He's a great guy. He's a family guy. We still talk to him. You know, he's doing better and we just wish him the best. But yeah, it was a really hard situation because, you know, he's such a good coach. Like you said, you've come to practice, right? The majority of people don't get to see practice. They just watch the games. They don't understand, you know, all that goes into it. And that's fair. They're not supposed to, right? They're fans. They come, that's what they want to see is the games. But he's just such a great X and O's guy. And he was a really good practice coach, and I learned so much from him in my 4 years here, as far as basketball and preparation. And you know, this is the best league in the country, so it's really well scouted. You got to be really locked in every single game and how you're guarding actions and what you're going to run, how you're going to score. And he was really, really good at that, and he implemented it into practice and prepared this team and all his teams he's had really to compete at a high level. You know, his numbers speak for himself. Like, he won a lot of games here, right? If you look at his record, and he took the team to, I think, 6 out of 7 NCAA tournaments. So, you know, he did a great job and I learned so much from him. But then the transition, like you know, like you asked, is really hard because, you know, Coach Manning comes, who's obviously a legend himself and a great player and a great coach. But he had only been here 2 months before this all happened. So, he, you know, obviously not being familiar with how Coach ran things or how things are done here in the past. So he's kind of had to do all this on the fly, and he's done a great job, and he's got the guys excited, playing hard. Now our results aren't what they wanted to, what we all want them to be right now, but you know, we just keep grinding and we're trying our best to get better every day. But yeah, it's been difficult. So, you know, you're a man down and your head coach is the main guy that makes the show run. So we've all just been trying to pitch in as much as we can. And, you know, Travis, we still have a lot of basketball left, right? I think last year we were 1-5 in the Big Ten and ended up going on a massive run and getting an NCAA tournament. So anything's possible. This team is a little different than last year, so we're still trying to figure everybody out. But the guys are excited every day. They're still showing up to practice, practicing hard. And we're just going to keep competing and see what happens. But definitely it's a tough transition. But everybody, like I said, everybody here still has a lot of respect for Coach Turgeon. Really appreciative of what he did. And we're all just trying to move forward and do what's best for Maryland basketball.
No, absolutely. I try to tell when, you know, obviously when everything went down, you know, people having conversations with me, they asking me questions. But I look at it from a different perspective. I played the game. You know, I've been involved with, you know, Coach Steve. And so they people that, like you said, that never probably played the game, they may not understand what all goes into it. And then dealing with the adjustments and that and those things and the chemistry of everything. And like you said, I mean, there's still a lot of basketball to be played. You know, like I said, I've been in situations where we went into the tournament, we were on a bubble. People didn't think that we were going to make it at all. Right, like you right. said, you guys made that run last year. So anything is possible. So what, I mean, I know how we were in the locker room as players when things weren't going quite well or like we expected. It was like, man, look, we got people, it's just us in here. Nobody else believes in us. It's just us in here. We got to come together and forget everybody else. That's the main thing. Keep our head down and focus on what's in front of us, which is you have a game tomorrow against Illinois. Yep. So it's like we got to just mainly focus on that. Is that pretty much what the guys are pretty much saying? Obviously, because, you know, like I said, when I was playing, we had a number of players meetings. We had a number of players meetings where we're just like, man, we got to do what we got to do. You know, so like how was that adjustment and what are the players like?
Yeah, I think you know, we don't have Eric Ayala is obviously our leader, but, you know, he's not the most vocal leader. So we don't really have a vocal leader on this team, but we kind of have a bunch of guys that have done it before. So like Eric Ayala, Dante Scott, Hakeem Hart, Fats Russell, Caduce Wahab, these guys have all played in the NCAA tournament, whether it was here at Rhode Island, at Georgetown. So we've got a lot of experience and they know what it takes to get to the highest level. And they've all won at the highest level. Now we've also all lost, right, at a certain degree. You know, I went through some losing seasons at Loyola. Fats lost some seasons at Rhode Island. So there's always going to be bumps in the road. But yeah, everybody's just trying to stay positive, like you said. And they've held player only meetings, right? They've done that. And we've had a lot of talks. And every time we go on the road, we meet as a staff, we meet as a team, and we just talk and try to figure things out. But the locker room's been fine. There's no divide in it. The guys are all together. They just want to have fun this year and see what happens. But you know, I think the biggest thing is everybody has stayed together through all of this. Whether you win at Northwestern in double overtime and we're all excited, or you have a tough loss the other night at Michigan, you know, you get on the plane and you keep working. You just keep watching film. We showed up yesterday and watched film and practiced for about an hour. Couldn't do too much. And then we'll practice today pretty good. We'll get up and down and prepare for Illinois. So it's just one game at a time. Like you mentioned, you know, you got a really good team coming in Illinois who's got one of the best big men, maybe the best big man in the country, in Kofi Coburn. Right. So, you know, every single night you're playing a team that's borderline top 25. And we know that, and we're excited about that. And you're going to try to steal as many as we can on the road and hopefully win our home game. So, but yeah, there's no divide. The guys are, you know how it is, man, the locker room's a locker room and everything that goes on in there stays in there, but it's been good. It's been a good locker room. It's been fun. We just got to pull out some wins. I think, you know, Travis, we're 1-6 in 6 of our 7 Big Ten games. We've had the lead like under 10 minutes in the second half, right? So we just got to figure a way to close games out. And we got a guy in Eric Ayala and Fats Russell that can close games. But we just got to do a better job of doing that in the next couple games.
Absolutely, man. But look, Coach Greg Manning Jr., I definitely appreciate you taking time out your morning. You know, I know I tell guys all the time, like, look, one good win, we get a good win, game by game, you know, half by half. But we get one good win, get everything back rolling, things can change. Absolutely. So I definitely want to wish you guys the best of luck, especially tomorrow and then the rest of the season. I'll definitely come to some games, check you guys out. Awesome. I definitely appreciate you taking time out to join the Go Terpins with Travis Garrison on the Fantasy State Networks. And I appreciate you, man. Good luck to you guys. And I'll be tuning in for sure.
Thanks, Travis. Appreciate you, man. Welcome back anytime.
Oh, yeah, appreciate you.
All right, man.